I've made it to here, so that's a good omen. It's the sitting down and the standing up where I have the pain. Stood up, I have no problem, so please, no, not too much sympathy. Well, the theme of caring, brothers and sisters, is a fundamental principle of scriptures, isn't it? And consequently, a challenge for any would-be disciple of Jesus. On the other hand, to be careless is to deny the needs of others and to shirk any responsibility towards our fellow man. And any intentions we might have will certainly be centred around self and self again, with little or no room for the embracing of others. You know, when Cain slew Abel, his brother, he cried, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And in so doing, he introduced to us a very human weakness that's been ingrained into our human nature ever since. Attention to self, brothers and sisters, is a very real danger to those who claim to serve Jesus. However, there can be no unity with him while ever we masquerade, as it were, our discipleship in this way. Lives motivated and governed by self-interest are in direct conflict with the desires of Jesus. And any aspirations we have about the kingdom of God have to be somewhat misplaced. And to this end, I think we would all do well to weigh ourselves in the spiritual balances, lest we fall short of the expectations of Jesus. This 21st century of ours is a generation, brothers and sisters, who seems bent on the pursuit of self-interest, as they look to number one, as they say. And it's one they are comfortable with too. There's no apologies, insomuch that they are comfortable with it and just unable to recognise there is a problem, or that there is sin at their door. And we, brothers and sisters, somehow or other, have to try and raise ourselves above all this and guard against its destructive forces, which, left unchecked, will erode the very foundations of ecclesial life, and not least our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of Ezekiel, the leaders and the shepherds of Israel, they just failed to reach out to the sick, to the infirm, and they refused to bind up that which was broken. In looking to themselves, they became content, you see, with their lot, and the seeds of neglect became evident in their lives. They were not at all happy when the routine in life was upset and demands was placed upon them that intruded into their liberties. And that was a matter that greatly angered the Lord, so much so he accused them of being dumb dogs. That's strong language, isn't it? And a dumb dog, as we well know, minus its bark, is a pretty useless dog as a guard dog. And yet, it was a very apt description of Israel's leaders, who were silent in the defence and the proclamation of God's word and all its values. And the irony of it all was Israel's shepherds saw no fault with their conduct as they sat in their ivory watchtowers, just oblivious how far removed they were from God. in looking outward to the enemy from their watchtowers, they failed to see the dangers within the ecclesia, if you like. You see, their religion was well rooted in the praises and the flattery of men, as indeed were their future descendants, as on record in 2 Timothy 4 there, who had itching ears for an unacceptable worship. Whatever diminishing spiritual eyesight and deaf ears are not the best of references, are they, for shepherds and for watchmen, who are primarily appointed to safeguard the sheep and to be their brother's keeper. If they slumbered and slept, then the enemy at the gate would break through, plant tares within the household of faith, and destruction would be the eventual outcome. Shepherds, sheep, and watchmen, they all play an integral part of the scriptures, made evident when so many references are brought to our attention concerning them, and the lessons and the pictures and the imagery they present are just unmistakable. Sheep are the first animals distinguished by name, aren't they, in Genesis 4. And throughout our Bibles, they are the measuring stick in the ancient East to one's wealth, being used for food, covering of tents with their skins, clothing with their wool, and not least, of course, for animal sacrifice. And therefore, they were highly valued as a commodity. Indeed, the Talmud expressed, it is better to sell the field to buy a sheep than to sell a sheep to buy a field. And so it was then Palestinian shepherds took guarding their sheep very, very seriously, even if it meant dying in the protection of them. There was no half measures with these shepherds. And it was common knowledge in the ancient East how the strong the shepherd's care and loyalty and devotion was towards his sheep. It was a bond so difficult to sever, whatever the circumstance. And with that background, turn, if you will, with me now to Psalm 23. Which, along with the Lord's Prayer, are the most recognized words of Scripture, winning a supreme place in the religious literature of the world, so well known to us. And David, writer of the Psalm, was of course a shepherd himself in the days of his youth, and therefore well familiar with the shepherd's vocation. The Psalm begins with the shepherd, and then ends with a gracious host, who are one of the same. Verses 1 to 4, David recognizes the Heavenly Father as his guide and his personal shepherd, who is in total control of his life, and in whom he puts implicit trust. There is an embracing here, a coming together of both parties. Having said that, David, you brothers and sisters, was a man just like us. He was very human, and he had his weaknesses, which was vividly illustrated when he feigned madness when Saul was seeking to take his life. On that occasion, his faith and his confidence was laid absolutely bare. For his performance that day, he could well have won an Oscar. He was brilliant. And some would argue that Psalm 23 here was prompted and written by this episode in his life. The psalm has two divisions, each providing an answer to worry and our troubled souls. The first four verses focusing on God as the faithful and good shepherd who desires us to trust in him and guide us through our lives. And the last two verses describe him as a glorious host who has prepared a splendid meal for his guests, resulting in great rejoicing over his abundant grace. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. Be it shelter, be it food, home, drink, clothing. I have everything I need. And the Heavenly Father will provide it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, or to take a rest for a little while, to stand still and consider and to evaluate our very fortunate position that we have. You know, brothers and sisters, perhaps this 21st century of ours, motivated by greed and the need to have more and more, has even persuaded us away from the simplicity of this psalm, and in some degree removed our dependence on our Heavenly Father. And consequently, faith that stamps or marks his sheep is beginning to fade. Can it be said about us that we belong to Christ? He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. And that togetherness, brothers and sisters, it has to be shared, and it has to be seen by those around us. To lie down in green pastures is to be safe, is to be content. It is to be at ease with ourselves as we look to our shepherd to restore and to revive our souls. And this ecclesia is an oasis in our wilderness journey, wherein we can renew our spiritual energy to confront the many problems and the pitfalls and the obstacles that we are bound to face in the days ahead. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, or the dark shadows of my life, and we all have them, wherein danger lies, I will fear no evil. Confidence in the shepherd, brothers and sisters, is what banishes worry. It's what banishes trepidation and our fears. Who with his shepherd's rod will ward off any danger seeking to harm his flock. You know, sheep's vision is only 15 yards, I'm told. They hear much more than what they can see. Surely there lies a very powerful lesson for us. For our vision, at times, is not all it should be, is it? And we make misguided judgments all too often in our lives. If we could but listen more to what God is trying to tell us and trust less in our sight then we would not stumble and fall when the great areas of our life searches out, as indeed they will. Faith, brothers and sisters, is what will get us through. And the stronger that is, the stronger our vision will be. And all the hurt and all the pain in our lives, they will be put into perspective, for they are nothing more to those who have faith than a means to an end, as expressed in the latter verses of the psalm. When all our fears, when all our anxiety is soothed and calmed, as the shepherd's role now turns to that of being a very gracious host. In other words, our journey is over. The destination has been reached. The past is behind us. This is a time of wonder, of great celebration and great joy. We have arrived. We're in the kingdom. And our host, well, he exceeds the bare requirements of hospitality, doesn't he? And he enters into a relationship with us that is eternal and very intimate. And the meal assumes the proportion of a feast, and the cup, it just overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and kindness will follow me the rest of my days, and I will dwell as an invited guest in God's house forever. God and David, brothers and sisters, were carers of Israel. And the metaphor of a shepherd was a very apt description, wasn't it, of their care and of their devotion towards those who came under the umbrella of their protection. And with those thoughts in mind, turn, if you will, to John's Gospel now, chapter 10, where our theme of the Good Shepherd is brought before us now in the figure of Jesus, who takes on the mantle of a supreme spiritual shepherd for both Israel and the Gentiles. Verse 7. Verily, verily, or double the emphasis on what he was about to say, I am the door of the sheep. There is no other way. He is the only means of access to God. In Palestine, the sheepfold had no literal gate. It was merely an opening in the wall. And to keep the sheep in, the shepherd had to lay across that gap to prevent the sheep from straying out, and robbers and thieves and wolves from getting in. So in a very literal sense, the shepherd was that door. In the past, so often Israel's shepherds and leaders, they just failed in the discharge of their duties, as they looked to themselves and neglected their sheep. And in so doing, they came to a calamitous end. On the other hand, Jesus gave his life for his sheep. To him, one lost sheep was of paramount importance, and 100% effort was made in its recovery. He was the greatest of all shepherds because his love was the greatest. Meanwhile, brothers and sisters, he has set the limits. He has set the borders of our pastures. And to seek greener grass elsewhere is a backward step unto our folly. Brothers and sisters, it may well be difficult from time to time on the inside of ecclesial life. or the shepherd's fold. But on the outside, it's now impossible. Certainly, if we are serious kingdom seekers, the grass is not greener outside these walls, that's for sure. By instinct, the sheep of Bible times knew their shepherd's voice, and when brought down from the hills to share communal sheepfolds with other shepherds and flocks, a change was made in contrast to the countryside sheepfold, where the shepherd blocked the gate with his own body, as we have already intimated. In the city, it was different. In the city, shepherds collectively hired a porter to safeguard their sheep whilst they slept and rested during the night. And it's to this analogy Jesus draws our attention to in these first five verses of John's Gospel 10. In the morning, the shepherds arose to collect their sheep, separating them and calling them out of the flocks who had mingled together. The shepherds knew who were theirs, and the sheep recognized their familiar voices and trustingly followed them. "My sheep," said Jesus, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them from out of my hand." What a comforting thought that is. You know, brothers and sisters, the sheep fold was four-sided, wasn't it? And its scriptures number for complete sufficiency. It's the key to our salvation, as four encapsulates the shepherd, the door, the sheep, and the sheepfold. In those four lies our redemption. The fold is the ecclesia and God's safety net for the safeguarding of his sheep. And being four-sided, it conveys his love as being equal on all four sides. Whichever direction we choose to go in, we are sure to bump in to the love of God. And that's our security within the sheepfold. The British Army in days gone by, in military terms, formed a square with its soldiers by way of defence, and that proved very, very difficult to breach. It was very formidable. It's no less true in God's house, the ecclesial sheepfold, which is also very difficult to breach if, brothers and sisters, if we could but work together within the household of faith. When we make excuse to be absent from our ecclesia, the ecclesia is always weakened, and we become exposed and vulnerable. In the world, well, we might well choose our own friends, but in the ecclesia, the Lord chooses them for us. And it is beholden on us to reconcile ourselves with that, hard though it might be at times. That's what we have to do. We have to get on with each other, despite all our differences, and they can be many. However, a brother or a sister who believes they can manage their pilgrimage outside the fold sadly are misguided. And at worst, they put themselves in serious danger. For when we distance ourselves from our ecclesia or seek to be on the peripheral of all its activities, it will always weaken it never ever strengthens. And that's the truth of it. A falling away in the last days, our brethren and sisters who have taken their eye off the shepherd, who are just unwilling now to listen to his voice, as they try and seek pastures not of his choosing. And that's sad, isn't it? But that's what's happening in the last days. Too many are listening to the voice of this world, and much less to the voice of Jesus. The truth is, brothers and sisters, we all need the help and the support of each other. And so much the more now, surely, as we see the day approaching. It's so close. And to push ourselves away from this very sound principle serves only to fracture a fundamental teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. For unity is the foundation stone on which to build any ecclesial success. So then, let us come to the centre of our faith. And with a very deep sense of humility, appreciate this wonderful position we are all in, and trust in the shepherd's care and his love. Listen to his voice and dwell day by day on the wonderment of our calling, because that's what it is. Knowing if we can stay within the sheepfold, we are under the shepherd's divine protection. And one day, soon, very soon, he is going to sit down with us in his kingdom. And he is going to invite us to share with him the manifold blessings that the Heavenly Father has prepared for us. It was for this, our futures, that our shepherd gave his life.